We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and we're talking with Director Butler, Director Dennis Butler, here with the Riley County Police Department, and we've been discussing some hot topics here in the news, and we're going to go back to the phone lines here. We've got some questions here people want to ask you here, sir. So back to the phone lines we go. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Hello, sir. Thank you for your time. I appreciate you taking your time to come in to answer some questions, and I really appreciate the transparency that you're able to show by coming on the show and answer these questions.
Sure.
I know there was a recent study by the Coalition for Equal Justice in Manhattan, Kansas, that looked at the discrepancies of what the arrest rate that RCPD is conducting when it comes to African Americans versus the Caucasian population. There, a lot of them are being arrested at a higher rate for things that are, that necessarily happen at the same times for all races, but they're being arrested at sometimes 2 to 3 times the rate. Have you looked at that report, and what steps are you guys taking into trying to figure out what policies you guys can do or what actions you could do to make RCPD better for the community as a whole? Because just those stats and statistics can lead to why a lot of African Americans or Hispanic Americans or people in our community are very afraid of the police. A lot of times we feel like we get the brunt of the attention but we don't get the necessary protection whenever we do call the police or when incidents happen. So thank you for your time. I just want to see how you guys are addressing that. And congratulations. I believe they extended your term, and just thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for the you had several questions there. I think the main one, if I'm correct, is about the CEJ's report on arrest disparities for African Americans over Caucasians when it comes to marijuana possession and distribution. So I'm very aware of that data that CEJ has collected and released to the public for several years. There was a task force that was put together several years ago prior to my appointment that examined that very topic, and it involved folks from the community who have a stake in this, also some folks from K-State and the city. And my understanding is that when they looked at every single report, I mean, every single arrest in detail, they were unable to determine any obvious or overt bias in the arrest rates that you referred to. They exist. There's no question. But in the end, part of the issue or the position that we take at the police department is it's unadjusted census data that is a big part of those calculations. And what I mean by unadjusted census data is we don't have a clear idea who makes up our community, who lives here permanently, whether it's a student, a Fort Riley soldier, or someone from the community. And I want you to know that the way we train our officers, and this is a fact, is we train officers to observe behavior, to react to stimuli, and then investigate if they believe, if they have reasonable suspicion, a crime is occurring or has occurred. And they know what the limits of their authority are. And if they find more information that would rise to probable cause to make an arrest, they make an arrest. But there's no question the disparity exists. So what are we doing about it? Well, we currently engage in a working group called Fair and Impartial Policing with some of the same people that are members of CEJ. And we talk about these things. We talk about training. We talk about strategies and approaches we can take to ensure that the officers are reacting appropriately to visual cues and behaviors of people. Leaving race and gender and all of that out of it, what are they seeing and how are they reacting to it? Like I said earlier on in the program, our officers are often called to situations. Sometimes we initiate contact with people. but it's all based on what they believe to be crime that is occurring, whether it's reported or observed. And that's how they proceed. And if they have enough information to make an arrest, they do. If they don't, then they don't make an arrest. That's how it works. But the important part also to know is all of these arrest reports and testimonies and videos, they go to the prosecutors. And the prosecutors also review it, and they determine if the officer was justified in making a stop or an arrest. And then in some cases, judges and juries get to look at that same information, and they end up making a decision. So when we talk about the criminal justice system, we often just think it's all the police, but really prosecutors, judges, probation officers, community corrections, parole officers, prisons, they're all part of the criminal justice system. We're just the front line that people see most often. But I don't want to dismiss your concerns. I hope I didn't sound that way, because I am very aware of it, and it's something that we're constantly talking about with members of the community.
All right. Some good questions there. We have another caller here, I think, standing by. So, Dave, you want to plug them in? Go ahead. You're on In Focus with Director Butler.
Okay. My question has two questions, actually. Is there still in the law a contradiction between how people are treated if they're arrested with powdered cocaine as opposed to cocaine in the crack form? And that has to do with propensity of minorities to not have the powdered cocaine in their possession when they're busted, as opposed to people of European descent having the powdered cocaine when they're busted, and same thing with crack. The other question has to do with, is there an effort to keep the demographics of the police force equal to the demographics of the community? In other words, if minorities are, 10% of the population, is the police force made up of 10% people of minority populations, so that they're reflective? And is that found to, is in the past, and your department or other departments, has that been found to be helpful? In other words, to have a police force that's demographically similar to the demographics of its community. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Again, two good questions. The first one, I know when the 1994 crime bill was passed by Congress, in fact, the author of that bill is our current president, there was an enhancement for the possession of crack cocaine at the federal level when it came to charging, prosecution, and incarceration. I don't believe that enhancement is the same with our state law here. I could be wrong about that. Since I've been in Kansas, I have not worked the street as a patrol officer. I've been a police chief or a police director the whole time. So I'll have to check on that, and I should know the answer to that. So I apologize for not knowing at the state level if there's an enhancement, but I don't think there is. In terms of the second question about diversity, it's accurate that our workforce in patrol policing is not reflective of the demographics of the community. One thing that a lot of people are surprised by is our Hispanic or Latino population is actually higher than the African-American population here. And I'm very aware of this, and it's a constant topic of conversation and review of our hiring process. I want you to know that, and I'm going to talk a little bit about my first department, but we here at the department are committed to attracting qualified diversity to our department. And right now, we don't have too much trouble receiving applications from Caucasian applicants, but we do have trouble receiving applications from people of color and other groups. And so part of what we've been working on, and we just had a very good meeting 2 weeks ago, is where do we go? Who do we reach out to? And it may not be here in Manhattan, to find larger pools of diverse applicants. So the idea is, if we don't have a lot of applicants locally that meet that criteria, where are they? what do we have to do to locate them, reach out to them, and encourage them to apply here? So I think that's the biggest key, is just to get those applications. And once we get them, I think we'll have better success in increasing the diversity of our agency. And so that's something that we're working on very well. In my first department, I worked right outside of Washington, D.C. for 25 years. We had a very diverse department there. And I strongly believe, because we had a large Hispanic and African-American population in the city I worked, and I do believe having a department comprised of police officers more reflective of the community is a good thing, and it is very effective and helpful in maintaining positive relationships and trust in a department. I think, you know, somebody made a point recently in a meeting I was in that some of our officers that work up in the North County also live in the North County, and how the residents up there appreciate the fact that somebody who lives there also works there, and there's quicker rapport, they build better trust. And I would apply that analogy to a diverse police department. I think the same is true. It would be true here in Manhattan if the people we're serving are being served by people more reflective of the actual demographic. So I agree with you on that, something we're very aware of. And I would encourage anybody listening to this, there's a national narrative going on right now that makes people probably say, why would you ever want to become a police officer? And that doesn't help our recruiting. It really doesn't. I think anybody who would spend time with our officers in this department and get to know them and how we do things here, not what you think it's how it's done because of news reporting that I think is often misleading, and I don't mean local news reporting, I think they would look at us differently. And if they have a heart for service, they would find this would be a very satisfying career and they would love working in this police department. Thank you for your questions.
All right. Yeah, some great calls here. We appreciate that. We'll take a break. Back with more from Director Dennis Butler, Riley County Police Department, after this on KMAN.